First John. Let me go ahead and give you some background, kind of prepare, lay the groundwork for this new study. John, the first epistle, general of John, if your Bible is set up like mine, usually there's a heading. It's a general epistle. That is, that it has no particular target audience in mind. I suppose you could say that John's account of the gospel was the same way. In general, the public at large was the target audience. Now, in terms of when this was written, John probably wrote this sometime between A.D. 85 and A.D. 90. It was written before the book of Revelation. Revelation was written somewhere right around A.D. 95 from the Isle of Patmos. At this point, I don't believe John has been exiled there yet, so the date of authorship is somewhat earlier than Revelation. John is the youngest of the 12 apostles. He was ambitious, you'll find in Mark chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 20. Mark 10:35 through 40 and Matthew 20 verses 20 through 23. John's mother, James and John, their mother came to Jesus and wanted to ask a favor, and that would be that her two sons, when Jesus set up his kingdom, that one would sit on the right hand and one would sit on the left. They were ambitious. They wanted to get somewhere in this world. What else can I tell you? The name John means Jehovah hath been gracious. Jehovah hath been gracious. And John was the son of Zebedee, and his mother's name was Salome. And they were from the area of, or the village of Bethsaida, which is located down in the region of Galilee. Now, I'm going to read chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, straight from the King James English, and then I'm going to use an expanded translation. I say expanded because what it is, it's going to give you the Greek, a literal translation from the Greek, as well as including some of the tenses that the Greek language is very specific with that English does not carry through. From time to time, I'll do this. From time to time, I have done this. Because if you don't know the tense of the verb that's being translated, sometimes that leads to misunderstanding, and sometimes there are whole church doctrines or cult doctrines that have been expounded. And turns out it's based on a mistranslation or a misunderstanding of the literal meaning in the Greek. Well, here it says in chapter 1, verse 1 of 1 John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Now, verse 2 is a parenthetical statement. If you're looking at the scripture, you will notice it's set off with parentheses. And what that means is you could skip it. You could go from verse 1 to verse 3, and it would not change the meaning at all. But the parenthetical statement is one that kind of fills in some background material. So verse 2 says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Now, if I go to the Greek, and I read those first two verses, it sounds longer than that, but this is what it says. Now this, please keep in mind, as an expanded translation, it's giving you the literal English translation along with trying to capture those tenses, okay? And so it'll sound just a little different. But this is what it says. That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, with the present result that it is ringing in our ears, that which we have discerningly seen with our eyes, with the present result that it is in our mind's eye, that which we gazed upon as a spectacle, and our hands handled with a view to investigation, that which is concerning the word of life. And this aforementioned life was made visible, and we have seen it with discernment and have it in our mind's eye, and are bearing witness and bringing back to you a message concerning the life, the eternal life, which is of such a nature as to have been in fellowship with the Father and was made visible to us. Now, there's a lot more there than comes through in the English, but let me just go back now to the King James. He says, that which we have heard, is what it says in the English. But in the Greek, the idea is, we've heard it, and it was so overwhelming, it's still ringing in our ears. That which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we've looked on it, and we've seen it, and we've studied it to the point where it is locked in our mind's eye. We still see it. Now, let's go on then. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I suppose probably I ought to mention this. The entire book of 1 John has as a general theme the idea of fellowship with God. Now, you have, if you're a Christian, you have a walk with God. You have a life in Christ Jesus. Now, whether or not you are a spirit-filled individual, whether or not you are 100% living for Christ, or whether you're just a quote-unquote nominal Christian, these terms reflect on or describe difference in your relationship with God. It might be very close, it might not be so close. But 1 John is geared toward strengthening that relationship and making that walk to be regulated by the Scripture so that we can have a walk with God that's pleasing to Him. Now, my time is gone, so we'll need to pick it up here tomorrow. Join me then.